choppers in a pontoon boat, driven by my buddy Mike. We're fishing out on the basin for alligator walleye pike. Emo brought his TV and Routy's beagle Fred is too old to drive a rabbit, so he comes fishing with us instead. We got lawn chairs, a poker table, an ice cold keg of beer. We're loaded down with so much stuff, Mike can hardly steer.
Hey, watch out for the stern!
When he oopers in a pontoon boat, fishing for Moby Dick. The wife, she thinks I'm working, and the boss, he thinks I'm sick. It's a perfect day for fishing, drinking beer and telling lies. It's a little bit like heaven when you're fishing with the guys.
Okay, just a little bit like heaven, fishing with the guys, and we got Fishing Frank in the chair here. We got Captain Kale in the chair across from me, and we're going to see how this goes with a fishing report here. So, anyway, stop. Whoa, there he goes. All right, back. Okay, now we got that. All right. Let's see. Fishing report. What's been going on around? Lots of storms and rainy, real hot, rainy and everything. What's the most prevalent fish you see out there right now?
I think it depends on what end of the harbor you're fishing at. If you're fishing up towards the north end, I think redfish seem to be the fish of choice.
Okay. A lot of redfish up here in the north end?
A lot of redfish down up here. a little bit cooler. A lot of fresh water, rinsing down the river, bringing them new and exciting things to eat. Down in the southern end of the harbor, still lots of tarpon.
I think that fresh water runoff and there being so much with 14 feet of water up in Arcadia and this huge 7,600 cubic feet of water a second coming at us, it might be why the west side of the harbor is turning on so much.
Yeah, it's that all that water goes down the west side, the majority of it. So you got the Peace River running into the Myakka and all flushing down that west side.
And because the red fishing on the west side of the harbor has been pretty good from what I hear.
Really good. East side has been okay, but the west side has been better. Myakka Cutoff has been good. Grassy Point, the mangroves up above Ponce Park in between Ponce and Colony.
No, all those have been good places.
All redfish.
Okay.
And the majority of them are on shrimp.
Yeah. Now, you're freelining the shrimp, jig heads, what are we looking
at? It all depends on how much current you have. If you have a lot of current, then jig head or split shot, you know, helps hold it in place. But look for those points where
incoming tide, freeline, or whatever, but outgoing tide, you're probably going to need a jig head.
With that much water coming down, you're probably going to want a little bit of weight to hold that shrimp in place.
Okay. Now, how are the snook doing around the area?
Snook seem to be doing better down south. Water's a little bit warmer. It's a little bit clearer. Still able to get a little bit of bait around Jug Creek Shoal and Devilfish. So the snook have been a lot more active down on that end of the harbor.
So now, as far as bait goes, you mean a white bait?
Yeah, we'll get a white bait.
So have you heard of any white bait up in the harbor here at all?
No. Up until a month ago, it was doing very well at Pirate Harbor, but the freshwater has finally tipped the scales there, too, and sent them packing.
So, Devilfish being so close to the pass and all that, that's probably why they're still doing pretty good on the greenbacks there.
Yeah, definitely. And, of course, you know, you've got the incoming tide that hits around Jug Creek Shoal and in that area, so they've been
keeps
good
it salty
there too.
Enough yeah. where yep. they can hang out between tides.
It was actually relatively clear down there too. I mean, you could actually see bottom, you know, in 2 foot of water.
All right. So you got a little bit of mixed now off of Cape Hayes on the sandbar there, Turtle Bay, Bull Bay, back through the islands, a lot of snook back there. They seem to be heavy on the trees, or are you hearing anything out by the sandbars?
I'm hearing redfish in the trees. Snook in the trees, and then your big redfish out on the sandbar. The other thing to watch out for in that area, there's been a big bait school of juvenile greenbacks out there, those little one-inch guys.
Right.
And lots of ladyfish, Spanish mackerel, jacks, tarpon, shark have been following that school. And it happens first thing in the morning. You've got to be down out in front of Bull Bay, Devilfish area, looking for those birds hitting the water. And it's going to last an hour or two. So, by 9 o'clock, it's done.
So you want to be out leaving the dock at dark.
Yes,
as soon
definitely.
As you can get enough light to idle out
right.
and heading over in that area and watching for the school of bait. Now, you were talking on the last show we did was ladyfish at the top, then Spanish mackerel, then
right.
jacks.
Everything was layered.
And sharks underneath them.
Yep. I would recommend going out there, anything shiny, near the surface of the water. Catch yourself a ladyfish, put it on a big rod, send it back out. Now, I would probably go with steel, leader, and a circle hook.
Gotcha.
Because you're playing your odds here. Is it going to be a shark? Is it going to be a tarpon? And the way those odds work is if you use steel with a J-hook like we usually do with shark, you're going to catch a tarpon. It's going to throw the hook on the first jump. And if you go with mono on a circle hook, you're going to catch a shark, and you're going to fight it for about 10 seconds, and it's going to bite through that monofilament leader. So, play the odds in your favor. Circle hook with a steel leader. Water's murky enough that those tarpon aren't going to see that steel, and they're not going to care. They're engulfing a whole entire ladyfish.
Now, it's fishing. If you were going to go out and, let's say, take some kids fishing, what area would you really want to go to and try and hook up with some fish?
I'm going to start with that school that we were just talking about.
Okay.
There's a ton of fish there. It's instant gratification for the kids, and especially if it's a kid that has never fished before. You know, kids don't have that attention span and that layer of patience that we've been honing for years.
Yeah.
So they want that instant gratification of catching a
and
fish.
I'm more along the lines of, okay, oh, dang, another fish. Just want to start and relax.
Yeah. But they can
I
get out
sleep.
There.
I want a nap.
And catch 100 ladyfish in the morning and be as happy as can be.
Oh, yeah.
Is it a lot of gas? Yes, but it's worth it.
Have you been up on the rivers at all lately?
I was up on the river just a little bit one day. It's tough fishing the river right now. I've been fishing it by boat and by land. I've been doing much, much better by land. Fishing the bridges at night. White Storm twitch stick for snook and bass.
Now,
redfish have been tough.
Okay. Now, you're talking about going up the bridges along Highway 17.
Yeah, on 17 over Shell Creek. I probably wouldn't hesitate to try and do it, the 761 bridge, all the way up in Arcadia, up in Lettuce Lake.
And so you're getting snook and bass on the same...
Yeah, same spot, same lure.
Gotcha. So I'm kind of wondering if all this fresh water hadn't brought some freshwater fish down the river.
Oh, absolutely. They're going to rinse over the Shell Creek Dam. It's going to flush them down from way upriver. If the Shell Creek Dam can almost flush a boat over it, it'll have no problem flushing bass over it.
Yeah. Yeah. No, there's a lot of fish coming over the dam right now. With all the rain we've had, it's really
yeah.
flowing. So, now, out at Shell Creek, can you still get there by land?
Yeah, you can get there by land. If you go out 17, you have two Washington loops.
Right.
You want the northernmost Washington loop. There's like a little convenience store right there above Ridge Harbor. I think it's a couple miles down the road. And I believe, I want to say it's Mangrove Drive. It's either Mangrove Drive or the one after it.
Right.
You can drive it all the way down,
the
and it's right there.
To Three Rivers Housing Development.
Right. It is right there at the end of
You've got a blacktop road. When you come around the corner at the convenience store, you're going down. Once you get past the houses there, there's a little break where it's just trees, and then you'll see a blacktop road to your right. Immediately after that, and I mean right next to it, there's a blacktop road, a telephone pole, and then a dirt road.
Right.
And you want to take the dirt road.
Yep. Follow that right to the end, and that leaves you right at the base of the dam.
And there's some great snook fishing down there. Selling a lot of jigs for down there, a few storm twitch sticks. Just a lot of weedless jerk baits because you only got about 2 feet of water over the top of the rocks that you're
right,
casting.
Right.
So you're going to lose some lures if you let them get down there. A lot of snook. A lot of snook.
If there's that many fish, I wouldn't even be surprised to catch a bull shark or two. We were doing it, was it 3 years ago when that tropical storm came through?
Right.
We were up there right afterwards, lots of water flowing over like it is this time of year. And we started out catching catfish, and something kept eating the tails off the catfish on the way in. So throwing back out a catfish under steel, we were catching 4 and 5 foot bull shark up there.
Yeah, it's amazing. You don't think of going up to a freshwater dam to catch bull sharks.
No, you don't.
It really does work well.
Yeah.
The tarpon, we all know the tarpon are really thick in the canals. DOA terrorize, quarter ounce rattle traps.
I have never seen so many tarpon, juvenile tarpon, in the canals. And these aren't new fish. I mean, these are 3 or 4 year old fish. They're all in the 40 to 80 pound range. And the harbor was full of them the other day.
Right.
I had a harbor tour, so we went down the east side, all the way out to Boca, up the west side, and it was tarpon everywhere.
Yeah.
One here, two there, one here, three there. The only place that really had them balled up and fishable was in a straight line right down the Alligator Creek Reef.
No kidding.
Rolling constantly.
Wow. And up on the river, once you get up around the water treatment plant, you've got some tarpon up there. You've got some tarpon at Harbor Heights, I-75. But those are mostly morning and evening fish.
Yeah, first thing in the morning, first thing in the evening. Afternoon, you're going to want to move out to the deeper holes of the harbor. That whole section below Mangrove Point. You know, you want to draw yourself a triangle from Mangrove Point to the middle of the upper hole to the south end of Alligator Creek Reef. If you can get in that triangle on an incoming tide, you're probably going to catch tarpon.
Yeah, getting great tarpon reports. Everybody always wants to be here May and June, and it's great, but it's crowded. And this time of year, you probably got as good or better of a shot at hooking up a tarpon.
Probably better.
And they're here to eat. Wouldn't May and June, because they're done spawning. They're trying to get filled up.
They're not preoccupied.
They're getting ready to take the long trip back across the Gulf or wherever they're going to go for the winter. And so they're really stocking up, trying to eat. They're all done thinking the boy and girl stuff, all that, you know.
Yeah, they're not as picky as they are in the past. You know, they're going to take big white baits. They're going to take big pinfish,
and there's
live,
two
dead,
to five boat
frozen, chunk
instead
ladyfish.
Of 10
yeah.
to 50.
And yeah, it's nothing to get out there and have your own school of tarpon first thing in the morning. You're the only boat there, and you've got hundreds of tarpon rolling around you.
Now, this time of year, I know you do a few tarpon trips, but it's still really, it's starting to catch on more.
Yeah, it is. I think here in a few years, it's going to overtake the pass. I really do. It's
well, nobody wants to fish in the pass. You got all the weirdos.
Nobody wants to fish the pass anymore. I did
too many whack jobs out there.
Two pass tarpon trips this year.
Yeah,
and I purposely wanted to avoid it, but I didn't have to because my clients are tired of that crap down there. They're tired of seeing the infighting. They're tired of seeing boats arguing with each other because of the way you think somebody else should or shouldn't fish.
Yeah, it's just goofy. But there's so many fish now, and we're seeing more and more people come down at this time of year for tarpon.
Yeah, and definitely. It's really starting to catch on
that you've got that big push in the spring, but then you've got another big push, you know, when they're showing up in the spring. But the thing is, they're thinking about the baby Dan set. They're thinking about, you know, boy meets girl stuff.
Yep.
And they got a lot of other stuff on their mind. At this time, all they're looking to do is, you know, reload the furnace.
Yeah,
because
exactly.
Because some of these are going to travel hundreds of miles.
Thousands of miles. Some of these tarpon are going to leave here, go up around the Gulf Coast, all the way down to Costa Rica.
Yeah.
And sometimes even further south.
Yeah, they travel hundreds or thousands of miles during the course of the year.
Yeah.
And then to come back here again next year. So it's actually pretty cool. We're doing a lot of drifting for them, a lot of trolling, a lot of casting. Or, you know, bait. I mean, you can pretty much, everything you think of in May and June is going on right now.
Yeah.
But let's
The biggest thing to fight is the urge to chase them. You're going to sit down in a spot because you saw them rolling there on your way in. And you're going to get settled in. You're going to get your baits out. And you're going to watch them start rolling 50 yards away. Fight that urge to chase those fish. Just sit there.
Because
they'll come back.
Yeah, they're going to go one spot, then they're going to the other.
They're
going to
move around.
And if you go to where they are, then you're going to look and they're where you
are. You're going to spend more time reeling in baits and moving and casting out baits than you are catching fish. Just stay there. They'll come back around.
Yeah. So, anyway, but getting away, how's the shark fishing? We know that underneath that school of bait, you got some black nose. You heard about anything else going on shark-wise?
A lot of bull sharks down in the southern end of the harbor. Normal this time of year. You will see some bulls up here at this end of the harbor also. You've got a lot of fish that don't like fresh water. And a lot of fish that don't like salt water. All coming together in the middle of the harbor. You're going to see half-dead gar out there in the middle of the harbor. Especially on an incoming tide. Because that incoming salt comes in. And it kills them off.
Starts to burn the gills out, yeah.
Right. And then you've got your fish that are getting caught up on the outgoing tide, freshwater coming in. So you've got a lot of weak and dead and dying fish that is going to bring something to clean that mess up. And that's going to be our shark and our catfish. So you've got plenty of them out in the center of the harbor. Your bull sharks can handle that freshwater, not a problem. If you're looking for your smaller-bodied sharks, then you want to get down out in front of Bull Bay, just inside Boca Grande Pass, and you'll start seeing a lot more black nose.
All right. Now, Spanish mackerel, you've talked about the school that was there.
Right.
What else is going on with Spanish mackerel? And I know we've got a little bit out through the Gulf, but it's pretty small schools at this point.
Yeah, it's been really small schools. They're going to...
Can you pause?
I can't hear you.
Can you pause?
Yeah. Yeah. Go ahead, Kale. I'll be right back.
Okay. You're not going to see a whole lot of Spanish mackerel offshore in big schools. The bait schools that they've been following are starting to break up. So as those bait schools of bait fish break up, those big schools of Spanish mackerel are going to break off and follow them too. So you're going to find smaller schools.
Okay. Wow. Okay. Sorry, folks. We ended up getting slammed up, and we're going to have to wrap up this fishing report. Thank you so much for listening to the Radio Fishing. That was Captain Kale. This is Fishing Frank here in the chair, and we'll hopefully be by in a little while with Robert and I doing a full fishing report. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.